20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. It is a playoff Sunday, but more importantly, we have major news in the Packers sphere. Matt LaFleur, as well as Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball, all expected to be extended by the Green Bay Packers. And all reports are that Matt's contract is already done. It has not been announced by the team. By the way, they do not announce these. At least they have never done it in the past. These are things that get leaked out. And it's not something that usually is reported ultimately by the Green Bay Packers when they do head coach or GM extensions. So we may never get that actual announcement from Green Bay. But Matt LaFleur is already apparently extended contract is agreed to. And it sounds like Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball are either done or near done. Tom Silverstein reported that Goody is also done on Twitter. He was the only one that I saw that reported that, but many others said it was just about done or almost finalized, etc. But this is a major inflection point in the current Green Bay Packers as to what they did. We'll get into all of it. And I'll be honest, I think this is a really interesting topic of conversation. It's extremely polarizing. You probably feel extremely strong one way or the other, that you either are really excited that Matt's back, or at least, happy that they re-signed him, or you are devastated, frustrated, angry, complacency wins. We'll talk about all of it. I promise. We're going to deep dive this in its entirety. A couple pieces of news. First of all, we did have playoff games on Saturday. One was good, one was bad, and we still have no idea what a catch is or what an interception is or what simultaneous possession is or what constitutes any of it. And it seems like we have this situation come up every NFL playoffs. It was very prevalent and evident in at least the first game and had some major moments. But the Bills game, the Broncos game was amazing, but now you've got Bo Nix injured. The Seahawks game was a nightmare. I would have liked to have seen Green Bay against Seattle still, no matter what, but That was a buzzsaw against San Fran. That was an absolute buzzsaw. And Green Bay, yeah, I still want the smoke, but Green Bay might have got the smoke from Seattle in that game. They were prepared. Seattle is a nightmare to play in. And that would have been a tough situation for any team going into Seattle on this particular day. And Seattle just absolutely boat raced and nuked San Francisco. Again, Bo Nix being injured, the huge thing as we go on, which will ultimately be to the Final Four, the AFC Championship game, certainly loses a little bit of luster with Jarrett Stidham being the backup there for Denver. But maybe he surprises, makes it interesting. We'll have to kind of wait and see. We have two very important games coming up on Sunday, including the Chicago Bears and the LA Rams. So buckle in for that one. Hopefully the Rams can pick up that win. The other thing, Jeff Hafley, leading candidate in Miami. Every sign and indicator right now is that he's going to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It's not finalized yet. He is also apparently getting a second interview everywhere. Everyone loves him. Everyone wants to interview him more. I joked on Twitter, he is so sought after right now that it wouldn't shock me if he ended up with the Dodgers. Haha. This is something that's going to get finalized one way or the other, assuming it's with the Dolphins. But Jeff Hafley, all but gone from the Green Bay Packers after two seasons as their defensive coordinator and now likely on to head coach of the Miami Dolphins. One other note with that is it's not just Hafley leaving. Remember, Hafley might want some assistance coming along with him, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but maybe on the offensive side of the ball as well. Defensively, Ansley and Covington would be two that I'm sure he would be interested in as his defensive coordinator. One other interesting one, we'll talk about Adam Stenovich and maybe fans wanting to move on from Steno. I personally don't think Green Bay has any appetite to move on from Steno. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think they do. But if Steno gets an opportunity to call plays somewhere, Matt LaFleur, I think, would let him go and interview for that opportunity. And it's possible that Jeff Hafley, as the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, who's looking for an offensive coordinator, could say, I want Adam Stenovich and I want him to call plays, and Matt will let him do that. And potentially that would open up an offensive coordinator spot as well. There are going to be a ton of moving parts. DeMarcus Covington could get a defensive coordinator job somewhere else. Green Bay, of course, will have to find a defensive coordinator. We'll go through that as well as we get to the end of this show a little bit later of sort of what are next steps for Green Bay. But the big thing that I wanted to talk about today, of course, is Matt LaFleur and his extension. Let's go over the nitty-gritty of what we actually know so far about this extension. Number one, the first thing we heard from Rob Domofsky after we heard that it's basically done is that this is not a short-term, you have to prove it sort of deal for Matt LaFleur. This is a long-term extension. This is an investment in Matt LaFleur, and this is a sign of belief in what Matt LaFleur is as head coach of the Green Bay Packers. All right, that is a huge distinction here. A massive distinction. If this would have been a plus one or a plus two on top of his contract already, he's immediately coaching for his job this year. And now with a long-term extension and a vote of confidence in Matt, this is basically saying, we believe in you, and it would take something catastrophic this year, probably some sort of 4-13, 5-12 sort of season, and losing the locker room in order for Matt to get fired. This is a huge vote of confidence for Matt LaFleur. So that's the first thing there. Next up is that, again, as we talked about, Russ Ball and Brian Gutekunst are getting extensions as well. And this is likely going to be something where they keep that trio together on the probably similar, probably the exact same years, right? I don't think they're going to have different years for those guys. I would assume that they're all going to get the same length of extension. I could be wrong. We don't know for sure. But the big news there is, again, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, both getting extensions as well. Now, there are reports out there as well from Matt Schneidman, and I believe it was Tom Silverstein as well, that there is not going to be a change in the power structure in Green Bay. That Ed Policy will be at the top, which we knew, but Matt LaFleur, Russ Ball, and Brian Gutekunst will all individually report into Ed Policy and not have Matt and Russ reporting to Brian Gutekunst. That could have been a part of this negotiation. It could be that Matt, and I don't think even if Matt wanted this, that this was a disrespect thing to Goody or anything like that. It just can be seen as a demotion if you're reporting directly into the president and now there's somebody in between you and the president. That's a difference. You're moving backwards, right? And so maybe that was part of the negotiation. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was never a factor. Maybe it was never anything. But at the end of the day, it sounds like they decided to keep things status quo. And again, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, all will directly report in to Ed Policy the same way that Mark Murphy did things with his time with his coaches and having all three report directly to him. There was a report from Tom Pelissero that there was never any serious consideration to moving on from Matt LaFleur. Never any serious consideration. And that echoes and lines up with what, basically Ian Rappaport tweeted out before the Bears game saying Matt is not coaching for his job. He just isn't. And it basically is what Adam Schefter said right after the loss of that. The expectation is still that Matt LaFleur is back in Green Bay. So per Tom Pelissero, never any serious consideration to moving on from Matt. Per Matt Schneidman, he said, quote, it would have taken something very significant not to offer Matt LaFleur an extension. That was from one of his sources. I think it was within the organization, but don't quote me on that. It was one of his sources either way in his article over on The Athletic said, would have taken something very significant not to offer Matt LaFleur an extension. This is what I kind of talked about all year, where it would take something catastrophic and he probably has to lose the locker room. Just what we talked about, what would have to happen next year. It would have taken something crazy and it got close. It got close, at least in my opinion. But it didn't reach that level per Ed Policy, and that's why they extended him and still extended him rather aggressively. Another report that said, this was from Tom Pelissero as well, they never had any interest in John Harbaugh. I've done that like 20 times this week. Never had any interest in John Harbaugh. So that was not a factor. And the last one from Matt Schneidman is, there is no mandate from Ed Policy or Brian Gutekunst or anybody that Matt makes any changes to his staff. Meaning that his staff is his staff, and it is up to Matt LaFleur to build his staff the way that he sees fit in his vision. It is not, you know, Brian, or it's not, well, Brian doesn't, you know, oversee him. So it's not Ed Policy saying, Matt, you've got to fire Rich Bisaccia, or Matt, you've got to get rid of Luke Butkus. It's Matt's staff, and he will have final say over it. And again, it's another vote of confidence to say, this is yours. It's your baby. You're the coach. You get to choose your coaches. We're not going to tell you what to do. That hands-off approach is a good thing, by the way. It's a good thing. You may disagree with the ultimate outcome. We'll see what Matt decides to do, but that's good process. You don't want really anybody meddling in that sort of decision. That's got to be the coach's decision of who is ultimately on his staff. What I want to say first is that I understand, again, as I talked about, and as I talked about on our live breaking news show, this is a very polarizing topic. And everyone has a different thought on it as to whether or not this was the right move or the wrong move. What I will say is I love how passionate this fan base is. I love that everyone wants this team to succeed so badly and doesn't want first-round playoff exits and wants this team to be the best version of themselves that they can possibly be. Everybody, regardless on whether you're on the side of, I'm so excited that Matt's back, or whether you're on the side of this organization's a joke, they're fine with complacency, you know, Matt LaFraud and every other nickname, you know, fire LaFleur hashtags, or anything in between. I don't care what side you're on. All of that passion on both of those sides is because we want this team to do as well as they can possibly do. And we all have different ideas as to how they ultimately might get there. But at the end of the day, we are all Packers fans and we're all passionate about that end goal, which is Green Bay finding ways to win Super Bowls. And we all have an undeniable passion for that. No questions asked. The other thing that's worth noting here is we can't actually affect anything, whether it's a media standpoint or whether it's a fan standpoint. We can really voice our displeasure, all right? There is power in that. If everyone in the or in the fan base was like, this is insane, get rid of this guy, we're not going to go to games anymore, all right, then yes, there is absolutely power in that. But us arguing online about what is the right way to go isn't actually probably going to change anything, right? And even if we were all singularly aligned into the fire Matt bandwagon, guess what? Everybody in Milwaukee Bucks fandom right now is completely aligned in the fire Doc Rivers bandwagon, and people are showing up less to games and are frustrated and ticked off and are booing at games. And you know who still has a job right now? By God, Doc Rivers. So even in those situations, there's no guarantee that the organization is going to do what we as the fans want them to do anyway. So I love the passion. I love both, you know, whatever side you're on, keep being you. We all want the same thing. We all want a Super Bowl win and multiple Super Bowl wins, etc. But just remember, we can't usually affect this stuff too much. And I'm not just saying like, so shut up and get on board and whatever the Packers would. No, nothing like that. Just saying like, you know, when you're fighting with everybody online, I'm preaching to myself too. Just remember, we don't get much say over this one way or the other. And it doesn't mean you can't be happy or displeased. I'm just saying we don't get really much opportunity to change the outcome anyway. I think this is an extremely unique situation. I think it's an extremely unique situation. I think Matt's been a very successful head coach. Your definition of success may vary from my definition of success. That's okay. We all have different worldviews. We all have different visions of what that looks like. I think if you would poll a group of NFL executives nationwide and say, what are your thoughts of Matt LaFleur? Is he a good coach? Is he successful? Would you be willing to hire Matt as a head coach? I think it would be overwhelmingly positive. As I talked about the other day, we look at this through green and gold tinted glasses, and that's not a bad thing. We expect Super Bowls. We expect championships. We expect playing at the highest of levels. Matt hasn't reached that level. Matt's also been extremely great when it comes to winning regular season games. I know the last 4 years, he's 3 games above 500, whatever the case may be. I made this argument. I get it. But in general, in his tenure in Green Bay, he's been very good at that. He's made the playoffs 6 out of 7 years. Oh, but he's a 7-seed merchant. I understand that too. Guess what? He's had good records most of those years that have been worthy. And there is a 7-seed. There just is. It's different. There's been a game added to the schedule. They've added different stakes to it. It is what it is. They've been in the playoffs 6 out of 7 years. That's all I can tell you. Hasn't had success in those playoffs. But you get in this situation where Ed Policy takes over. He wants this year to vet everything out, see how everything's going. And you end up in this situation that by the time you get to the end of the year, you have this good, talented head coach who hasn't quite lived up to his expectations, hasn't won more than one playoff game in any season, has won one playoff game in the last 5 seasons, has been closer to 500 over the last 4 years, has been, I think it was 3 games above 500 in his last 76 games, has been, I think it was 4-11 against playoff teams in the last 2 seasons. that hasn't been perfect. And so you end up in this situation where you didn't extend him earlier. And now you probably feel like, hey, I don't feel like giving him a 5-year, whatever crazy multi-million dollar deal extension, but I don't want to get rid of him either. But he's up for a contract and there's 8 other jobs open and he can get a very good job on the open market that's going to pay him 5 years, whatever. And so we have got to figure this out. And I've already said I don't want to go into a lame duck year. So we've got to get this figured out. And it's just a very unique situation. You have a really good head coach that's raised the floor of the team, but he's failed to raise the ceiling. And what is that worth? And ultimately, Green Bay decided that it was worth investing in and keeping him as head coach and moving forward with it. Where I'm struggling right now is the hyperbole, primarily, if I'm being honest, from this organization sucks. They're so stupid. Why would you possibly do this? But also, you know, I haven't seen many of the extremes on the other side, but I will say, if you're just like unequivocally confident that this was the right move and that there's no question about it, and Matt's clearly the best coach and you can't make a change, I don't agree with that wholeheartedly either. And I think especially some of just the hyperbolic discussion of like, again, where we get on these extremes of like, it's either yes, it's going to work, or no, it's not going to work, and there's no in between, I think it's fair. I should say unfair. There's room for nuance. There's room for conversation, and there's room to have discussions and to understand that we have no freaking clue how this is going to work. I understand that you get to the 8th year and there's only been 2 coaches who have won a Super Bowl, haven't won it before, and their 8th year or beyond or whatever the statistics show. Doesn't mean he can't. Every situation's a little bit unique and different. I would also tell you that the odds of winning the Super Bowl every year are not great. It's really difficult. And there's a better chance every year that he doesn't win it by far than that he does. And so, again, I just think it's fair to say, hey, there's probably some sort of middle ground here. And that's really kind of where I'm at. I'm not trying to both sides this. I really promise you I'm not. But I do think there are arguments to be made, like we've talked about, to say, hey, this could work. And I think there's arguments to say like, hey, be wary. This might be as good as it gets. It might not get better. You might be trending towards, you know, Mike Tomlin territory at some point. It'll take a little bit longer to get there, but you get my point. I saw a lot of interesting questions, comments, concerns that floated up on my social media as the day and night went on once we found out that Matt was staying. I want to go over those and give you my thoughts of where these are at. So I know this isn't exactly a Q&A, but I'm kind of using it as a Q&A. One person says, why not let this contract just play out? I think there's probably a part of Green Bay and the organization that would have loved that, to just let this play out one more year and see how things go. But I do believe that there is a real legitimate reason to not want to go into a lame duck year. I do think sometimes it's tough to get buy-in as a head coach. When you're on the last year of your contract, you get basically a vote of no confidence from your front office and the president, the team president. I don't think that's the direction that you want to go in. And also, again, we talked about Matt has a lot of leverage right now. And so he might say, no, I'm not coaching on my current deal. You could actually get like a holdout from a head coach standpoint. I don't think you just want to mess with that entire scenario. In an ideal, I don't even know if it's an ideal world, but I understand what this person meant of like, yeah, it'd be nice to see this just play out for a year and see where things go. But that's not the world we live in. One of the very few things that we know about Ed Policy and his tenure so far is that he did not want to go into a lame duck year with head coaches. So you were sort of met with this decision right here and right now to either extend and aggressively so, or try to just do a +1 or +2, which I don't think Matt was going to accept, or go in a different direction. And Green Bay ultimately decided they wanted to go all in on the Matt LaFleur business and stay the status quo with Matt as head coach. The next one, if this goes left again next season, it's only going to get louder. This is one of the reasons I talked about in the live show immediately following the game when they lost, of I don't know how you come back from this. And what I meant, and I talked about a little bit on that show as well, is it's going to feel like the hot seat is nuclear for Matt. And it's going to feel like every loss is just the sky is falling. Like, here we go again. They lost to the whatever team. They were favored by 4, and now they lost at home. And, you know, the team didn't show up and they had false start penalties and there were drops and the special team sucked and whoever is the kicker missed a kick and, you know, they didn't come out with their piss hot. And it's just going to feel like there's going to be an immediate, you know, right away from the fan base. Oh, same Matt LaFleur. But if things do go left, if things don't work out, Green Bay's going to have to, you know, really look at it and say, are we, it would have to go significantly left, but look at it and say, are we willing to move on? Are we willing to go in a different direction after giving them this huge guaranteed deal? Probably not, but they have to be open to that if something would go catastrophically wrong. But guess what? Just as much as it could veer left, it can also veer right. It can also veer right and it could get better and things could go, you know, really well. We saw them up in Denver, a team that's now in the AFC championship game, play them in Denver and have them, I'm not going to say had them beat, but were in complete control of that game until crazy stuff happened, injuries, an unbelievable pick by Patrick Surtain. And of course, you know, Micah Parsons going out. Did they respond well to adversity in that game? They absolutely did not. But up until, especially like the Micah injury, I mean, things were trending very, very, very well with this team at that point in time. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Another person said, where do you draw the line? When is enough enough? It's a great question. And that's where I think there's, again, nuance to this conversation. I don't know where that line is. I think personally, if Matt would have had this same season this year at 9-8-1 with everyone healthy, I think that would have been extremely damning. And I think you would have had to have a real conversation as to whether or not he would have been able to be the one that led this team moving forward. But there was nuance. There was a lot of injuries. He cannot recover an onside kick for Romeo Doubs in that game against Chicago. He did put Green Bay in positions to succeed and his players in positions to succeed against the Chicago Bears in Chicago, despite so many players being injured. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting question as to where is that line? Where, despite having success in the NFL, are you willing to say it's not enough success? We want Super Bowls and you're providing first or second round exits. Where is that line? Is it year 8, year 9, year 10? Is it, you know, Mike Tomlin? But Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl. Matt is not. I don't know the answer to that one. And I'm interested as well as to what it would take for Green Bay to say, that's not good enough. We need to go in a different direction. But I don't think anyone wants to stay in, I'll use the word purgatory. I don't think it's mediocrity. I think it's better than that. They're in the playoffs basically every single year. They're winning a lot of football games. I don't think that's mediocre, but it can be a little bit of purgatory where you never quite reach the promised land. You never quite feel like it was a terrible season, but you're just always left wanting more. It's meh. It's just meh from time to time. And that partially, by the way, if people want to call that entitled town, a lot of franchises would die to have that success over Matt LaFleur's tenure so far. But again, we see this through green and gold tinted glasses. We want more. We demand more. We desire more. And that's the way that we go about this. And we end up getting our heart broken pretty much every single year. But that's what it is. The next one is Green Bay is not a serious organization. I understand that this, again, has the stink of complacency to it. I know for a fact that nobody in that organization is cool with first round exits. I know that for a fact, everyone in that organization has a real, true goal and process to try to win Super Bowls. It's not just, hey, we want to make money. Hey, we want to stay financially solvent. Hey, we want to stay in Green Bay. There are goals within the organization, and keeping the Packers in Green Bay is a huge one. But they want to win championships. I can't speak for Ed Policy. I don't know him, but I know Mark Murphy really did. I know Goody wants to win championships. I know Matt LaFleur wants to win championships. I know the players do. This is as serious of an organization when it comes to winning as you will find. And not having an owner is a really great thing with that. This team wants to win. They just traded for Micah Parsons. They've now invested a huge contract in all likelihood into Matt LaFleur. They just gave a huge contract with a ton of money up front to Jordan Love. They have done what they can as an organization to stay with a team that can win. They're not, you know, outside of maybe some assistant coaches, as Justice brought up, they're not skimping out anywhere on the roster. They're a high spending team. This is a team that wants to win Super Bowls. They are not happy, and they are very serious in trying to do that. So I disagree that this is not a serious organization. Somebody said, will the Packers even return to the playoffs? There are plenty of criticisms to go around for Matt LaFleur. Plenty of them. We talked about him the other day. If you missed the episode, basically it was like the pros and cons of you know, Matt staying as head coach or leaving as head coach. There are plenty of things to nitpick at or just be frustrated with. Making the playoffs is not one of them. That is one of his superpowers. 6 out of 7 years, the only year he didn't was a play-in game. They lost in that final game to Detroit. He gets you there. Now, what he does once he's there, that's one of those things that you can nitpick apart and be frustrated with. But no, I have no concern that Green Bay will not, you know, return to the playoffs. That's what Matt's very good at. Another person said the Packers have no interest in winning championships. Again, unequivocally false. Another person said great teams that consistently fall short in the playoffs, it's exhausting and it has to change. Yeah, I don't disagree. I also am sick of losing in the first or second round of the playoffs. I don't like it at all. It pisses me off. As you saw in the post-game show, the live post-game show immediately following the game, I was not too happy in that moment. It is exhausting. It is frustrating. And Green Bay and Matt LaFleur will have to find a way to not fall short in the playoffs and ultimately get past the first round, the second round, into the championship game, into the Super Bowl, and actually win that Super Bowl. Next person said, message to fans is that the Packers are okay with being average. Again, they're not. They're not. I know why that sentiment exists. I really do. It's just not the truth on the back end of things. I know that for a fact. I don't think that that's the message either. The message to me is that Green Bay believes that Matt LaFleur can lead them to where they want to go. And that puts the onus and the pressure on Matt LaFleur to live up to that. But it's not just Matt, too. It's Russ Ball, it's Goody, it's the organization. This is now it's a trio. You know, this is a group that has to work together to find a way to overcome the obstacles and ultimately be a Super Bowl contender and a Super Bowl winner. And until they do that, they will be judged as not being able to do so. And they're going to have to answer those questions repeatedly as to why this team is not getting to the level that they need to get to. But I do not believe that the message is sending, we're okay with being average. I think the message they're sending is, we believe that Matt LaFleur can take this team to the promised land. Now the answer, the remaining question is, can he actually do it? Someone said, LaFleur is a loser. 1980s mediocrity all over again. My friend, as a history major, I beg and plead you to look at what the 80s brought to Green Bay Packers and what Matt LaFleur's done in 7 years and compare and contrast the two. It's not the same. It's not the same. And then somebody else says, with all due respect, what if it fails this year? Well, it depends on the level of failure. Guess what? 31 out of 32 teams are going to fail next year. If he loses in the Super Bowl, is that good enough? What would you rather have? Would you rather have whoever ends up losing the Super Bowl this year? Let's say the Rams lose in the Super Bowl to, you know, the Patriots. Let's say the Patriots lose to the Seahawks, whatever it is. Would you rather be the team that lost in the playoffs or lost in the Super Bowl, excuse me, heartbreak at the end? We're this close to winning a Super Bowl, but lost in the Super Bowl. Or would you rather finish like the Minnesota Vikings, winners of 5 straight in a row at the end, but in garbage time. You already eliminated from the playoffs. It didn't mean anything. Is it the same? Is it different? I don't know. Is it just one team that's happy at the end and that's it? It's an interesting conversation. So what is failure? They don't want to sound like Matthew McConaughey or like, you know, what is failure? The overarching feel is that they will probably fail, right? The vast majority of teams do. Do you immediately fire Matt right after that? The answer is, what's the level of failure? If they go 5-12 and are embarrassing and he loses the locker room, then yeah, that probably is the Mendoza line right now. And if they exit in the first round of the playoffs again, man, it's just going to make things even harder the following year. And the heat will be on and people are going to be pissed. People are going to be pissed. People are pissed right now. It just depends on what your appetite is or where that level of what is a failure in a season. They make it to the Super Bowl and lose. Is that good enough? Are you happy enough with that result? Or is it still, no, it doesn't matter. They didn't get the job done. So that's a really high bar. I'll end, and I have a lot to say left. Actually, it's not even close to the end. I have like a few things, but I will transition to what my take is on this. Kind of wanted to just stick to, you know, my thoughts on some of those questions and comments and stick to, you know, what actually happened with them extending and kind of go over that. The truth is I'm conflicted. I truly am. Now, there are some out there that think that, you know, I regularly get drinks with Matt LaFleur and I'm biased and I want Matt back, et cetera, and that's all I care about is, you know, brown nosing and whatever else, whatever other term you want to use to stay in good graces with the Green Bay Packers. As I've talked about, I've talked to Matt LaFleur one time for 5 minutes, and we talked about youth basketball 90% of that time. The other question I asked is, what do we get wrong in the media more often than not? So that was my conversation with Matt. One time, 5 minutes, that's about it. Now, obviously, I get to ask him questions in the press conference. Do you know that Bill Huber and Tom Silverstein just called for Matt LaFleur to be fired in their end of season articles? Their personal column pieces said, we believe, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but paraphrasing, that it's time to move on from Matt LaFleur. Do you think Bill Huber and Tom Silverstein are losing their credentials next year because they called for Matt LaFleur to be fired? I can say anything that I want right now about Matt LaFleur. Get rid of him, fire him, keep him, anything. And I'm not going to lose my credentials. Also, top secret, I don't use my credential a ton. I use it for training camp, mini camp. There's about 8 practices in mini camp and training camp that I can attend as a credentialed media member that I couldn't attend as a regular member of the public, right? Different sides, but honestly, the stands is probably better if I'm being honest. And I do get to go to games, but I don't do a ton with the credential in those games. I get to ask a couple questions in the press conference after the games. My coverage of the team would change almost none other than those 8 practices that I wouldn't get to attend. And in those, I would just bring on Marcus Eversole or Paul Bredel or somebody. I'd pay them to come on and tell me their notes from what happened at practice. The coverage doesn't change a whole hell of a lot. If anybody that, you know, wouldn't really affect losing their credential, I would be 1A on the list. The other thing too, and I don't want to make this about me. I've probably already done that too much. And my apologies for that. But I talked about this with Justice Mosqueda. If I had a horse in this race, my horse in the race would be if Matt LaFleur would have got traded for like the Miami's first round pick. Oh my God. Okay. I get a whole huge week of the Packers moved on from Matt LaFleur. I get a whole huge process of finding the next head coach. Then a whole huge thing of finding the next offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And now you have a first round pick, which adds to the likability and viewer numbers during the draft as well. It would have been the single greatest offseason content from a numbers standpoint in Packaday podcast history. By far, bar none, no questions asked. Don't know that anything possibly could have beat it. So personally, if my only goal here as on a personal agenda, please trade Matt. By all means, trade Matt. The truth is, I want what's best for the Green Bay Packers. And the truth is, I want my brand to be from the heart and to tell you what I really think is best for the team. And I'm not always going to get that right. I've got things wrong in the past. I really, truly have. And guess what? I'm going to get things wrong in the future as well. Never going to shoot 100% at this. But I always want to shoot you straight and say, this is what I think. And my truth is, right now, I am conflicted. And I really do see both sides. I struggle with this idea that it's a zero-sum game, that in order to be successful, you have to win a Super Bowl. But the truth is, in order to be successful, you have to win a Super Bowl. And everything else feels underwhelming, disappointing, frustrating, and just it feels like you didn't accomplish your goals at the end of the season. But I struggle with, again, can you be successful? Because it's going to the playoffs 6 out of 7 years is a pretty damn successful run. Having regular seasons that are consistently winning more than you're losing seems pretty damn successful to me. But I also don't want to be in that Mike Tomlin territory that he's been in over the last 15 years or however long it's been. It's like, yep, 9-8. Yay, first round exit. Great. That's a crappy place to be too. And I don't want that to be the end game for Green Bay. And that's where I just said, I think it's really hard to reconcile sometimes where there is 1 out of 32 teams that ends happy every year. And if your only thing that you're basing success on is a Super Bowl win, you are unhappy a huge chunk of the time. In fact, you're going to probably end your lifetime with maybe 2 or 3 years at best, in most cases, that you are happy with, and the rest of them you're going to be upset by. And then you better accept that that's your fate. Unless you get a dynasty, you know, and get a huge run, which they're very rare, especially in the modern NFL with, you know, the parity the way that it is, you have to be able to willing to accept that, all right, it's going to be failing. And then where is that line? As the question was asked earlier of where do you want to fire everybody? Here's why I'm skeptical. I saw what happened last Saturday. That was an embarrassing outcome against a division rival with a ton at stake, with a coach that called you out and said, I want to beat you twice per year in their building, in a team that's trying to take your spot at the top of the mountain. I know they haven't finished first in the division lately, but you get my gist. The Packers are the top of the mountain in the NFC North. Maybe not every year, but over decades they are. And they're deemed as that. And that team's trying to take your spot. And you lost to them on some fluky crap in week, what was it, 16, 15, whatever it was. And then you repeated a lot of the same damn mistakes in the wild card game, and you fell apart and couldn't respond to adversity and had all of the sort of LaFleurisms that usually go wrong in a big loss happen again against Chicago in a huge playoff game. And I relived that this week when I watched it on tape. And I saw far too many players in that game that did not show up ready to play a postseason football game. Bar none. Way too many players. Keyshawn Nixon not making that play at the goal line. Rashid Walker basically no showing that game. And they're not the only two. Guys that have played good football in Green Bay that did not show up ready to play their best football in Chicago. And that's not new to some of the stuff that's gone on in the Matt LaFleur era. And I saw it happen. I saw it happen live. And I had to relive it going through the tape this week and saw some things that left me a little bit sick to my stomach. I also agree with Mike Wall. This team is lacking a toughness, a physicality, an intensity, a finishing demeanor. And you have had 7 years to instill that in the team. And you haven't done it. And why am I going to believe now, going into next year, that you're going to be able to figure that out? And that it's going to all of a sudden show itself after 7 years of not really showing it, with despite different players, really basically two different teams. The 4 years of the Rodgers era and the 3 years of the Love era are almost like two entirely different teams. And neither of them have showed or exuded this massive level of toughness. And they've struggled in those games, especially in the playoffs when they've faced tougher teams, more physical teams. And my last thing where I'm skeptical is it just feels like something is missing. It just feels like something is just a little bit off. That there's just something, decaying is the wrong word, but just something eating away that just doesn't quite feel right. And I can't even quite put my finger on it. Maybe it is the toughness finishing sort of aspect of it. Maybe it's that, you know, this is a team that usually will take the rest day or the walkthrough day rather than going through a physical practice when legs start to get tired. And when you add that up over the course of 7 years and you miss a lot of practices because you're doing walkthroughs instead to try to make sure that bodies are recovering. And in the moment, that idea might be right. But when you look at it over a 7 period of time and miss a lot of practices because of that, that stuff adds up. It just feels like something is a little bit off. Something's a little bit missing. So I am skeptical of where this is at. We'll be right back. There's also reasons I'm hopeful. The play calling at times can be better, but I love this offensive system for Matt. The offensive system is beautiful, and his ability to mold it and blend it to any quarterback that's starting, unless your name is Clayton Tune, is really remarkable. What he's able to do with Malik Willis, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, those are three very different quarterbacks that play three very different ways, that are at three very different levels of their existence in the NFL when he coached them. And he was able to win at a very high level with all three of them. I love the system. I love the fact that the locker room had his back, that they aggressively had his back, that they wanted to play for him, that Micah said, this is one of the key reasons I'm here is because of Matt LaFleur. That means a lot to me. That Jordan Love is going to be able to continue his ascent to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL with his comfortability in Matt LaFleur's system. And the fact that despite not reaching the ceiling that we want to reach, this is a consistent playoff team every year. And you should not take that for granted. And I'm hopeful that there is still another step and a layer on top of what we've seen so far that Matt LaFleur and this team can take together. So hell yeah, there are reasons that I'm skeptical. And hell yeah, there are reasons that I'm hopeful. My ultimate answer is I think at the end of the day, I'm cool with him being back. I don't necessarily love that you had to give this huge extension. I don't think that was maybe ideal, but I do like the fact that they are putting their vote of confidence in him. And something in my gut that I cannot quantify or clarify in any way, shape, or form, and I'm not even going to attempt to try, and you can just call it whatever you want to call it, something in my gut tells me that this still has the ability to work out in a highly successful Super Bowl win. I still have a vision of Goody and Matt and Jordan at the podium together, holding up that Super Bowl trophy. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year. I don't know when that is, but I still see that vision. I still have hope for that vision. Hope's not a strategy. I understand that. Maybe it's just pure, dumb, stupid belief. And that's all it is. Maybe I had too many Luigi's pizzas today. I don't know what it is, but I do still feel like there is opportunity there. And I don't think the final story of Matt LaFleur is written yet. I think my ultimate answer is we just don't know. He's a really good coach that is yet to ascend to greatness, and they probably need him to be great in order to go on and ultimately be the team that they want. And the onus is now going to be on him and the organization to prove that they made the right decision and that Matt is the person that can ultimately get them to the promised land and win that Super Bowl. Just adding on top of that, we have seen not even maybe good coaches like Gary Kubiak, Doug Peterson, Nick Sirianni. Those are coaches who have won a Super Bowl in the last 10 years. I don't think those are great coaches. But just because even if you're feeling like, oh, you know, Matt's not great, he maybe he's just a good coach. Worst coaches have won Super Bowls in the last decade. I'll just put it that way. Worst Super Bowls have won coaches in the last decade. I think it's the right move for the here and now. I think in 26 and 27, you take a long look at it, you evaluate it, but you have to be willing to course correct if you got it wrong. That's the one thing I will say. If you're going to give out this for whatever it is, 4 or 5 year extension, and you realize that you, after a year or two, got it wrong, and it looks worse and worse by the moment, and this thing goes sour fast, you have to be able to eat that money and say, we screwed it up, we're going to go hire somebody else. You have to be willing to do that. Hopefully Green Bay is. It's a lot of money to eat if it goes sour quick, but you've got to be able to course correct if that does come to fruition. And if you're willing to do that, then in the here and the now, for the next couple of years, I'm willing to give Matt that opportunity, see if he can get them there. And if not, you reevaluate, you course correct after that. Firing would be the easy answer, or moving on would be the easy answer. In all sincerity, I know people are saying, they're complacent with Matt, and that I think the easier button to push here would have been to say, let's get rid of him. Let's try something new. I think it actually takes more guts and gumption and fortitude to say, there's a huge chunk of the fan base that is upset, pissed off, wants this guy gone. And you know what? We believe in him anyway. Doesn't mean the decision's right. But I like the fact that they are willing to say, we believe in this guy. And even if fans are upset by it, we think we're going to be right in the long run by keeping him in Green Bay. And we think he's the right person for the job. And we're going to make an aggressive investment into Matt LaFleur to show that we think he's the guy. The easier thing to do would have been to fire him, in my opinion, or let him go and get draft picks in return. So I like the fact that they were willing to stick up for their guy and say, he's got this. Now let's see if Matt, you know, Matt can ultimately back that up. Firing people is usually the fix that people think it is. A lot of times you get worse, not better. I've talked about with the Bucks, Budenholzer, and then I always forget the guy who followed him because he had such a short coaching stint. But you wanted to get rid of, you fire Budenholzer. All right, we got our new guy. Oh, this guy sucks. Fire him. All right. And you got worse every step of the way, and now you're stuck with Doc Rivers. Paul Chryst in Wisconsin. Fire Paul Chryst. All right. Now you got Luke Fickell. Enjoy. Rarely does it always go better. It can. Patriots are very happy with Mike Vrabel. Bears are very, you know, happy with Ben Johnson. But the Bears and Patriots, well, the Bears especially had to go through a lot of coach hirings and firings before they found that guy. A lot of them. I don't know that that's necessarily one where you want to be at either. I know we all, as soon as things go wrong, we want blood. We want somebody's head on a stake. Fire them, cut them, trade them, get rid of them. That's the default button. But that's usually not the best way to run an organization. Doesn't mean it's going to work. But I do like the fact that this is, again, something that they felt steadfast in and made that investment. And again, it's going to be up to Matt to ultimately pay that off. Next steps for Green Bay, they're going to have to find a new defensive coordinator. They're going to have to make a decision on special teams coordinator, offensive line coach. I think Steno's going to stay, but we'll see what happens at offensive coordinator. Per Ed Werder, the Packers could be contenders for Jim Leonard. Now, the word could is doing some heavy lifting there. I mean, they could do anything, all right? They could decide not to have a defensive coordinator. They could hire Rich Bisaccia as defensive coordinator. They could bring Joe Barry back. Could does a lot of work. But per Ed Werder, for whatever it's worth, said and tweeted out the Packers could be contenders for Jim Leonard. Biggest winner in this, by the way, I think is Jordan Love. The biggest winner is Matt Goody and Russ Ball getting extensions and probably a lot of money. But outside of those three, I think the big winner is Jordan Love. His ascent is real. It's legit. He's looked awesome. He fits incredibly well with Matt LaFleur. Matt fits incredibly well with Jordan. It's a really good relationship between the two. And I think that he is the huge winner by Matt sticking around in this situation. Things that I ultimately like, I like that they extended the trio together, meaning Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, and Matt LaFleur, kept them on the same page, the same wavelength. I like that they all worked collectively on this, that it was the kind of powers that be working as a group, same page, same team, everything to get this done. I love that there were no signs of fracturing or politicking. I love that they didn't go halfway. Maybe it doesn't work out, but I love that they didn't say, we're going to give you a 2-year extension, but it's really not going to mean anything. Make a convicted decision. Either decide we're out of the Matt LaFleur business or we're in the Matt LaFleur business. And I'll say one more time, I don't know if they got that decision right or wrong, but I want them to be convicted in the decision one way or the other. And I really truly believe that they said, we are convicted in Matt LaFleur. We're going to give them that big extension. We are in the Matt LaFleur business. Whether that turns out remains to be seen, but I love that they picked one, they ran with it and said, that's our decision. I think that's overall a good process. They didn't go halfway. And whether you like this or not, and many of you will not, they stuck within the DNA of the organization. And I'll be honest, I think they need to change a couple of the DNA strands to change some things up so that maybe they can be Super Bowl contenders more often. But the DNA of the organization is to have a level of consistency, to remain committed to the foundation of the team. At times, that means maybe staying loyal a little bit too long to see if the coach or the player can get to the level that you think that they can get to. Sometimes that works out great. Sometimes that doesn't work out at all. And we'll have to see what happens here. But they did, in my opinion, stick within the DNA of the organization to be loyal, to give it a chance, to not just all of a sudden we're going to start firing coaches. And what I'll just end with there too, Matt's had a really successful 7 years from a record standpoint. If you fire Matt after that record and what he's put together in Green Bay, now, you know, the bar is high for the next coach immediately. You know, if in 2 years they go, you know, 8-9 or, you know, don't make the playoffs, or in the next 3 years get eliminated in the first round every year, whatever the case may be, now you have to fire them, or you maybe should fire. You're going to make the same argument, fire them. And all of a sudden, now you get into that rotation of your hiring and firing coaches way more than you want to. So we may not always like that DNA that Green Bay has, that, you know, the Packer way by Ron Wolf, but they're keeping a level of consistency. They're not upsetting the apple cart. They are going with what they believe can be successful for the team. And I do like overall that they're continuing to stay true to themselves. And they aggressively said, again, we're in the Matt LaFleur business. I don't know how this turns out. If I were betting, I would say, I bet it is a lot of the same. I bet they make a lot of playoffs, and I bet they probably don't win a Super Bowl. That's the most logical outcome, right? They're a good team. They've got really good players. They've got a good head coach. 7 teams make the playoffs. You're probably going to make the playoffs a lot in Green Bay. We know that. And only one team wins a Super Bowl every year. And these teams are getting increasingly good at finding ways to win Super Bowls outside of just even in Green Bay. So the odds on favorite is that Green Bay stays competitive and probably doesn't win a Super Bowl. That's the most likely scenario. I hope, and I hope that you hope, even if you are on the side of Matt LaFleur sucks, that you stay positive and hope that this can work out. And it's okay to be skeptical. It's okay to be maybe even frustrated in the moment, but it's not going to change anything. Matt LaFleur is the head coach going forward. And now, as I said, probably 10 times, the onus is on Matt to prove that he is worth it, that he can ultimately take this team where they need to go. Time will tell. Skeptical? Sure. Hopeful? Absolutely. Let's hope he can do it. That's going to do it for me today. A lot of interesting feelings, a lot of passionate takes, again, every which way you can imagine. We're on to 2026. It's time to get ready for a Super Bowl this year. Let's stay healthy. Let's go crush that defensive coordinator hire. Let's get Matt performing at the absolute best level that he can perform as head coach, maybe with this entire scenario behind him. Let's go win a freaking Super Bowl in 26-27. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Huang, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkle-Sinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack, Cass, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Jake Conner, Donald Decker, and Damon Hartley. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.